Thank you very much. Pressure on the presidency. Yes, you're right. We run an executive presidency, and often in an executive presidency, there's more pressure on the person who occupies the position. But the Constitution gives you the vice president to assist you. And then you also have ministers of state in the presidency. You have presidential staffers. You even have your chief of staff. And so what I've done to reduce pressure is to make sure that I'm delegating some of these things. Ghanaians are normally not happy. They want to see the president himself. I can't announce the death of a big paramount chief. They want the president to be the one to represent them. So what happens is when I'm available, I do my best within the time that I have to see if I can, shoulder some of that responsibility. But when it's really impossible, then I make sure the vice president, represents me, or the chief of staff. I'm sure that lately the chief of staff has received several delegations, informing them us about the passing away of somebody. It's our tradition. You cannot run away from it. And so we continue to do that. But like I said, delegating more, to other officials in the presidency helps to make some of the other things that you should be paying attention to. What keeps me awake at night? I hardly sleep, so I don't know what keeps me awake. If you ask my ministers, sometimes they wake up in the morning and I have called somebody at 2 a.m. and they either come to the house in the morning and they say, oh, this minister is here. And when he come down, oh, what is it? He says, my president called me at 2 a.m. I said, oh, yeah, I wanted to talk to you about something. And I probably would have forgotten what it was I wanted to talk to him about. But if I do remember, then I tell the minister, pay attention to this or pay attention to that. But God blessed me with sleep. I'm a good sleeper. I don't sleep much. I sleep short hours. But when I fall on the bed, I go off like a light, ploop. And so I don't think that anything much, if anything keeps me awake, then it's just, how to make this country a better place, So in the night, sometimes you just lie and think about the things, the policies you're implementing, how you can, improve those policies so that they affect the people in a much better way and improve the quality of their lives. We will continue to engage with the religious groups. And I know yesterday the Minister of Foreign Affairs had quite a long session with the Christian Council. She's going to consult other groups and continue to explain, government's position. And it's my hope that, it will ignite, a certain sympathy, for these people so that we don't excessively continue to have issues with this particular matter. So that engagement with the Christian Council and the other groups will continue. And I'm sure that with the continued reassurance that we give, it will touch their divine, hearts to be able to give these people the opportunity to have a restart and put their lives back together. According to the agreement that was made, they are supposed to be with us for 2 years, and after 2 years, they're free to go wherever they want to go. And so that's the current agreement we have. But they live in the National Security compound, and they live with National Security personnel. And National Security personnel chaperone them and go wherever they want to go with them. And so I don't think that we have much to fear from them. I said, what we have to be afraid of is those that we don't know, not this one that we know. And so it's my hope that things will go well. We have a constitution, and the constitution has elaborate provisions in the directive principles of state policy and human rights. I swore an oath to respect that constitution. And so the rights of Ghanaians that are written into that constitution are what I am obliged to to respect and uphold. And so far, I have been upholding, you know, the pledge that I made. And so going to our constitution and read through the rights, and if you define rights there as gay rights, then I uphold them. But the rights that the people of Ghana gave me and asked me to uphold, I am upholding. In addition to that, you can take the other rights that we as countries of the world have accepted, and that is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And so all the rights there, I am enjoined as president of this country to uphold. And I will continue to do just that. With regards to recovery, I don't know what the figure is, but off the top of my head, from the last briefing the Attorney General gave me, she's holding more than 50 million Ghana cedis. But I'm sure that she will have the opportunity to update the media on who has paid what. But like I said, she should use all due process to continue to recover these monies. And so even if people go to court, she must go through the process, clear the way to continue to put pressure on them to pay back the monies. A lot has been said about sole sourcing. Our Procurement Act, which was passed by Parliament, recognized that there are circumstances in which sole sourcing is permitted, but it gives the parameters and the procedures that you must use to do the sole sourcing. And so a lot of people say sole sourcing is a reason for some of the corruption that we see. There's not been such a phenomenal increase in sole sourcing. It's about the same, you know, throughout. If I have seen the last figures, in 2013, sole sourcing as a percentage of our procurement was at 1.1%. And in 2014, sole sourcing as a percentage of our procurement was 1.7%. So just about 1.7% of all government procurements are sole sourced. And they are sole sourced because sometimes a country gives you money. And when they give you money, they say that they want their contractor, the contractor from their country, to be the one to do it. They don't give you the money and say, go and tender, and the money is from, say, China, and then a US company comes and wins the tender. They don't agree to do that. And so in that circumstance, you have to sole source. There are situations where the particular procurement you want to do, a certain company owns the copyright. And so you cannot source another company to come and do that procurement with the copyright of the company that holds it. So under those circumstances, you are compelled to sole source. But like I said, if we follow the procedures properly, and we also implement, you know, the value for money issues, I think that it should be possible for us to continue to guard against, you know, losing public money. There has been the issue of the gas processing plant and how it was procured. And so I've referred it to Pricewaterhouse to take a look at the whole value and give me advice on the value, because this Norwegian paper raised an objection and said that if we had bought it at this price, if we had bought it, we would have got it at this price, but we're paying this price. It's the simple, when the experts do the analysis, we'll see it. But the simple explanation that comes to mind is, yes, if you go to a car company and you want to buy a new car, a Toyota Corolla, let's assume, I'll tell you it's $40,000. Kodo, you don't have $40,000, but you want the car. So you say, okay, if you give me the car on work and pay, how much will it cost me? He said, well, work and pay, how many years? Say 5 years. He said, okay, $80,000. That is, I don't know how to simplify it more. If we had the money to buy the generators for 220 million, you add the auxiliaries and so on and so forth, would have done that. But this was a circumstance in which we didn't have it, and we wanted the project on emergency fast-track basis. And so he says, okay, I can do it for you, and then you pay through the tariff that you give me, and the tariff goes to pay for the equipment, and after 5 years, you can take the equipment for $1. I don't know, but like I said, I've referred to Pricewaterhouse. They are the experts. They'll do the financial modeling. And when they do the financial modeling, we'll take a look at it and we'll publish it so that it comes up as a matter of for Ghanaians to see, you know, what the state of that particular plant is, so that if there are any remedial measures we can take, or if it serves as a guide for future negotiations, then we use that as a guide, because there are several other plants in the process that are coming. And until this American is put to rest, I can't tell whether the financial modeling has been done properly. There's the GE Early Power. And the GE Early Power is supposed to come to cabinet. We won't own the plant till after 20 years. After 20 years, then we pay $1 and take the plant. So we need to look at the tariff and the cost and see whether it's acceptable or not acceptable. And so with the concern that has been raised, I'm sure that we will take these projects through more due diligence to ensure that we're getting value for money. But I do think that we have established processes. We have established processes for these things. It starts from the MDA level, where the technical negotiations take place. And then once they have finished, it goes to the Ministry of Finance. And the Ministry of Finance looks at the financing terms. And then once that has been finished, it comes to Cabinet. And then Cabinet looks at it. After Cabinet, it goes to the representatives of the people in Parliament, to their committee. And then from there, it goes on to the floor of the House. At any point in this process, a red flag can be raised. I mean, if people are not satisfied with the particular project, it doesn't help when it has gone through the process and then come out, and then it's in the process of implementation, then people within the process who had the opportunity to look at it now come back and raise issues that should have been raised at the time that it came through. And so that's what I'll say for now. And like I said, sole sourcing is a minuscule part of the procurement that we do. The last figure I saw was about 1.7% of total procurement. How are we resourcing the security agencies? And I think this is the final question. We are procuring some additional vehicles and instruments for them in preparation for the election. Normally, we provide in the budget for election security. And I think that in this budget, the Minister of Finance has made provision for election security. And so it will include, you know, additional vehicles for them to make them mobile. It will include some route control equipment and other equipment that they need to be able to ensure that nothing goes out of hand, you know, before, during, and after the election. And so I'm sure that things would go well. I believe that Ghana continues to be the beacon of democracy in Africa, and that we've done 6 elections. This is going to be our 7th, and I believe that, like the earlier 6 elections we have conducted, we're going to come out of it, you know, in a major, secure, and peaceful manner. So that brings me to the end of the questions I answered.